on second base, you thought you hit a double. You don't speak for me. Daddy and his rich friends bailed you out of trouble. You don't speak for me. I watch you as you work the crowd. Your eyes too bright, your voice too loud. Well, Junior, you're doing your daddy proud. You don't speak for me. You don't speak for me.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of This Conversation Rocks. I am Diane in Willow, Alaska, and I'm joined by
Todd in Los Angeles.
And today we're going to talk about the decline of Trump.
Yes, returning to our primary coverage after a couple weeks of just banging our heads against the wall going, I can't take any more of this shit.
And now
we are coming back just before Wisconsin. So that we can once again blow our predictive skills.
So, but here's how we're going to organize this. We agreed on this, and we'll see if we can stick to a format or not. So, Act 1 is now the primaries matter. Act 2 is nuke the abortionist or the abortion recipient.
And we are unclear at this point yet.
Yes. And Act 3 is a preview of Wisconsin.
All right.
All right. So, Act 1... Now the primaries matter.
And why?
Well, so here's the deal. You know, Donald Trump claims he can lock down the nomination in Wisconsin, but I'm trying to figure out what his math is.
Well, it's Trump math, and it's the same math that's going to get the Mexicans to build the wall for us.
Right, and make it 10 feet higher.
Right.
And get
just
all 11 million
you,
of them out.
About it.
So here are the real numbers. So right now, Trump stands at 737 delegates per vote, Cruz at 475, Kasich at 143. They need 1237. One of them needs 1237 to clinch the nomination before Cleveland. There's still 930 up for grabs. But Wisconsin,
plus a couple hundred that have gone to other candidates that have dropped out.
Right. And Marco Rubio, by the way, wrote a letter to the state of Alaska demanding that his pledged delegates be returned to him.
Okay. Gotta be honest, I have no idea what you just said.
So, you know, the delegates that he won in the GOP, God, I don't even know if they had a caucus or a primary up here.
It's caucus, yeah.
The delegates that were awarded to Marco Rubio were given away.
How can they do that?
When he dropped out. I don't know how they can do that. It's Alaska, man. We can do anything and justify
it. Well, I mean, the truth is that the caucus rules are written by every state individually and independently, so.
So anyway, he got wind of that, and there is now, you know, the whole Stop Trump movement, which is just trying desperately to keep him from getting the nomination clinched before he gets to Cleveland. They're trying to make sure it's an open convention. A contested convention. So Marco Rubio wrote to the state of Alaska and said, you need to give me my delegates back.
Right.
Because every delegate that he hangs on to is one less delegate that Trump gets.
Right.
But here's the other deal. So he, like I said, he claims, and he said this today, that he can lock down the nomination tomorrow if he wins Wisconsin. So here's what I don't get. First of all, it's winner take all. So if somebody else wins, they get all the delegates.
Nope.
Yeah.
It's not winner take all.
Oh, no. I seriously looked it up.
No. Because everybody's been talking about it. Wisconsin. I mean, we could go look at it again. But NPR. I'm going with the NPR coverage today.
Really? Now I'm going with Real Clear Politics. So maybe they're wrong.
Yeah, it's a situation in which it's a winner take most, not a winner take all.
Oh, interesting.
So what happens is they give 18 delegates immediately off the top to whoever gets the most votes.
Okay. And then they apportion it after.
The rest of it, each one of the congressional districts gets 3. Right? And it's by congressional district. So theoretically, Trump could win all 8 districts, and therefore he would get the entire state.
Dear God, that is really confusing.
Or Cruz could win all 8 districts and therefore get everything.
Okay, I am blaming my error on Real Clear Politics. I am not taking responsibility for that. But here's the bottom line.
And thus we have moved into Act 8, or Act 3.
The bottom line is...
I'm totally stomping all over you, but I am looking at our friends at uspresidentialelectionnews.com, Election okay. Central, and they definitely have as a winner-take-most state.
Okay. So, regardless of whether it's winner-take-all, winner-take-most, or apportioned percentage-wise based on their win, and I maybe have this number wrong, too, because this is from Real Clear Politics, but basically... There's like 48... delegates up for grabs in Wisconsin. So I'm not quite sure.
42.
See, there you go. No, I misread that. So that's actually... I'm on the same page. I just misread it. Damn. This is not going well. Okay. Anyway.
Thank God you know how to edit.
What I was
going
to...
You can make yourself sound really smart.
Yeah, but I'm not going to. I'm not up for it today. So... The listeners see me warts and all. I just got to get to my point. My point is, even if he wins all, and we agree that that's probably pretty unlikely, of the 42 delegates, I am not sure how 42 and 737 equals 1237.
No. He has to win most of, if not all of.
No, but he is saying, and this is my point, that he can clinch the nomination if he wins Wisconsin tomorrow. So what I'm trying to say is that his logic is somewhat flawed.
Right, and his logic is probably predicated on the fact that, you know, fuck you, I built the wall 10 feet higher.
Right.
Because we just mentioned a caucus number. But the primary delegate count, which I think is where we go back to at this point, and he's got 731. I think what he might be implying is that he figures he'll do well in the other states.
Right. I think he's implying that he's got momentum.
Yeah, except for...
he's got 737. I know I looked at several different sites for that.
But it doesn't matter because there's a lot left. It's weird. I was looking at it today. I was surprised at how much is left.
Right. They have a ton of delegates up for grabs, too.
Because in 2 weeks, on the 19th, they've got 95 in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Week after that, it's 28 in Connecticut, and 16 in Delaware, and 38 in Maryland, and 71 in Pennsylvania, and 19 in Rhode Island. And the week after that, it's 57 in Indiana. Week after that, it's 36 in Nebraska, 37 in West Virginia, 28 in Oregon, 44 in Washington, although what the fuck is the asterisk for Washington?
Right, you gotta read the thing that's asterisk.
Oh, okay, but the primary, this time, okay, so in Washington State, in the Republican side...
Oh, yeah, they had a crazy split, like, yeah, the convention and
yeah, so,
caucus.
But the caucus means nothing to the Republicans. It is, because all the delegates are for the GOP are actually on the primary.
Okay, but now tell me again why we're saying the caucuses matter now or the primaries matter now.
Oh, it matters because a Trump defeat, which is looking more and more likely
right
tomorrow, should actually clinch the fact that he won't be able to mathematically get to the magic number.
To 1237.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to follow that up, so most of the polls are favoring Cruz.
Oh. Our friends at 538 have got Cruz. So.
Right. And most of them are. I, again, looked at Real Clear Politics, which I probably won't use again, but they did an average of 7 polls, and it showed Cruz 39, Trump 34.9, and Kasich at 19.6.
Right.
But there's one outlier that has Trump winning by 10 points.
Sure. You know, but our friends over at 538 have it 91% chance that Cruz will win. And then the breakdown will be 41.8 for Cruz, 34.1 for Trump, and 21.9 for Kasich, which is actually... It's interesting, though, because... Think about this for just a second. It might be possible for Kasich to get nearly 22% of a vote, but because it's all about winning the congressional districts, that he gets nothing.
Right.
Although he'll probably win Madison, the congressional district around Madison.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that Cruz... I mean, theoretically, I guess Cruz could take all... I mean, if it broke down like that in every congressional district, then Cruz could get everything and Trump would get nothing.
I don't see that that's going to happen. I mean, the stuff that I watched on the mainstream news today is that there were still some pretty ardent Trump supporters, but I don't know.
Yeah.
One thing I will say that was really funny about the polls that I looked at, so the outlier that shows Trump leading by 10 points is from a group called ARG.
And yeah, I see that.
Did you see what 538 said about them?
No, I haven't. I didn't read the note yet, but I did.
So 538 said that's where math and reason go to die. So I'm thinking Nate Silver doesn't think that's a very respectable poll.
The American Research Group, right? Yeah. Okay, so American Research Group has been conducting surveys of voters since 1985.
The Reagan era.
Yeah, they got nothing about who they are.
Yeah, well, not real clear politics. Sorry, 538 does not have a lot of respect for them, which is just fine.
That's awesome.
So anything else about why the primary matters now? And I've got a little bit of stuff about the Democrats at the end in the third act, but I didn't really talk about them a lot because I felt like this was really the Trump and GOP episode.
Well, it matters on the Democrat side because Bernie's got to win.
Yeah, but we're going to talk about that later.
Okay.
In our Wisconsin preview.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure that there's a real defined split here, but okay.
Well, but now we're going to roll into Trump's no good, very bad week. If you would bear with me, I'd like to open it up by reading an essay that was written by Eve Ensler, who wrote the Vagina Monologues.
Okay, knock us out.
Because it's really great.
And now, tap dance.
Okay, so here we go. Okay, so this is a piece that was written by Eve Ensler. It was published in The Guardian, and it was written about around the end of March. And it's called Let Donald Trump Be Our Unifier. Donald Trump is not a leader or a presidential candidate. He's an outcome, a viral manifestation of a serious malignant illness. He is the mirror of our emptiness, the emptying out that has been happening to our country for a very long time. He is an outcome of a two-party system that has consistently ignored the needs and wishes of the majority of Americans for generations. He is the manifestation of celebrity culture, where those that have everything are worshipped for their shiny success, and in the world of celebrity, that shininess is a stand-in for principles, substance, and moral values. He is personality over planning, symbol over substance, insipidness over insightfulness. He is the outcome of the rich being able to buy anything, including our democracy. He is an outcome of centuries of underlying, unaddressed, massively denied, and metastasized racism. He is the hatred of the poor and needy, the denigration of immigrants and those seeking refuge from the devastation of U.S. wars and imperialism. He is the outcome of an insidious exceptionalism, the bedrock belief that American lives are more precious and valuable than any others, those that we stigmatize, bomb, torture, murder, control, invade, and whose economies we trash, whose resources we devour, whose futures we steal. He is the outcome of fear, which masquerades as bullying. He is the manifestation of patriarchy and the endlessly indoctrinated belief that only a father will save us, even though the manly men, I think she meant manly men, who have been determining the reality for this country and planet have led us to near ruin. He is the outcome of high-tech fantasy, virtual disconnection, and TV reality shows. He is proof of the duplicity of the corporate-sponsored media that claims neutrality while reaping profits from propping up racists, tyrants, fascists, haters, and those who would seek to destroy the country. He is the outcome of an insanely violent culture, increasingly unkind with more bullying, that normalizes cruelty, industrializes punishment, and declares an endless war on its own citizens. He is the consolidation of a government that devotes huge portions of its budget to building an imperial military rather than feeding and educating its own people, that wreaks havoc on the world rather than fighting climate change, that promotes the pillaging of the earth rather than ending violence against the people who inhabit it, that forces working people to police the world rather than providing them with meaningful work. He is the product of a country with the most number of armed citizens in the world, where the average of 89 firearms for every 100 people leads to more deaths at the hands of fellow countrymen every year than international terrorists have killed ever. He is the outcome of a country where police consistently murder black women and men with little to no repercussions, and millions are living in perpetual incarceration. He is the outcome of corrupt, self-seeking, extremist politicians who ignore the Constitution and make it their business to refuse any meaningful legislation from getting passed. He is the outcome of an insidious, selfish morality where getting what you want, making money at any expense, is the credo, and how we behave, who we hurt or destroy, what earth we eviscerate, is inconsequential. He is the holographic representation of the failure of a country, our denial, our refusal to act and rise for each other, and to take responsibility for what our government and corporations and military are doing across the world. He is a symptom of what happens when collective consciousness has been divided and subdivided so many times within this neoliberal psychosis that we no longer know how to make alliances, build coalitions, and have each other's backs or stand with each other when the going gets rough. He is an outcome of a country with denial as thick as its amnesia. We come to honor and idolize war criminals, racists and sexists, and corporations who've destroyed the lives of millions. He is an outcome of years and years of each of us being taught to fend for ourselves, fight for our own share, step over those who we are told are slower or weaker, but who may in fact be deeper, more moral, and more considered. He is an outcome of a world divided between winners and losers. He is an outcome of fatigue and privilege and disenchantment and hopelessness and exclusion. He is an outcome of cynicism and an imposed belief that there is nothing we can really do to overcome this corporate, neoliberal, imperialist, racist, sexist, homophobic, earth-hating, transphobic system. The moment of America has arrived. This is our reckoning, our karma come home to roost. It is way beyond the question of who we vote for in the upcoming election. It is a question of who we are. What is America? What kind of country do we want this to be? What values and principles do we hold and cherish? What will we do, and what lengths will we go to? What collective imagination will we employ? What mighty love will we summon to ensure the ending of this violence, this hate, this destruction of our Mother Earth, this grotesque inequality of wealth, this mad and ferocious drive to our end? Here is what Donald Trump is not. He is not us. He is not all of us. He is not the best of us. He is not inevitable. Let us take Trump at his word. Let him be our unifier.
After that, it's like, well, why are we trying?
Well, so she's a playwright and a poet. We have to remember that. But this was brought to my attention today by a good friend of mine, and I just thought it was really appropriate in the conversation about Trump's decline. And in what we have consistently said for the past several months is Trump's moral failings.
Everything that is wrong with the United States can be summed up in the name Donald Trump.
Right. But, you know, now, so what happened in his no good, very bad week? Go ahead. I've talked a lot.
To me, the best part about it was his campaign manager got arrested for battery.
Right. That's definitely on my list of things. I feel like it really started with his Twitter attack on Heidi Cruz. I am not a Cruz fan, but what he did to Heidi Cruz was really unconscionable.
And what exactly, I gotta be honest, because I just really, what did he do?
So, there apparently was a pack that is backing Cruz that put out that really sexy picture of Melania Trump, and they were basically like, is this really gonna be our first lady? Well, Trump was pissed, and he got on Twitter, because, you know, that's his main campaign tool, and posted side-by-side pictures of Melania Trump looking really gorgeous, because she's a frickin' model, she is gorgeous. And then this really horrible picture of Heidi Cruz, you know, selected to be, to look her worst. I mean, her makeup is not great. The picture's really up close and not flattering. She has a horrible expression on her face. And his tweet was basically something like, okay, which one would you want to be your first lady?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it was just, it was dirty politics.
Sure, but...
And, you know, Cruz is no stranger to dirty politics, but to drag both of the women into it, I feel like that was really the start of his horrible week.
Yeah, although, I gotta be honest.
It wasn't the worst of his...
If you're gonna get in this game, I kind of feel like, you know, maybe Cruz's wife, you know, wasn't, like, directly... It was kind of a cheap shot because she wasn't directly involved in it and everything. But, in fairness, they, you know, the Cruz campaign fired the first shot in that...
So
stupidity.
I disagree to a certain degree because it didn't come, and I never thought I would be speaking out for Ted Cruz, but it did not come from his campaign. It came from a super PAC that is supporting his campaign, which I do think there's a difference.
And if he didn't come out and condemn that super PAC for their stupidity, then he was complicit in it.
Right, and I don't know if he did or not, so I can't fairly say that. But the other thing that I hold out foolish and naive hope around is that I do think spouses and children should be off limits.
I would completely agree with that if it wasn't for the fact that everybody likes to make it part of the thing.
Well, you know, and I mean, I'm guilty. I'll admit, I love Jane Sanders. I think she's freaking awesome.
Did Jeb Bush just not trot out Grandma Bush?
Right, he did. And he also, to a certain degree, trotted out his wife because she was Hispanic, because she is Hispanic. I don't know. I guess I think that they should be off limits as far as cheap shots go. You know, I mean, they're obviously going to act in one way or another as surrogates for their family members' campaign. But I just think that doing something like that is really inappropriate.
Well, I will say that it is crass, that it is rude, and adds nothing to it, but I guess I just have a hard time saying, well, he shouldn't have done it. Beyond saying he shouldn't have, you know, he shouldn't have done it, because truth of the matter is, this is just the nonsense that our shit has devolved to. Man, I'm not even sure I like my own argument. But
well, so let me just say this. So we can agree or disagree about who was responsible and whether or not Cruz should have nailed his super PAC to the wall for doing that. But I think in terms of media flack and in terms of response, we can say that Trump's no good, very bad week started there, because there was quite a media flap over it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we go from there to the interview with Chris Matthews, where he talks about abortion and nukes.
Yeah. And that's where we go from the what the fuck to how fucking scared do you want me to be now?
Right. In the words of Negan, who was just introduced on The Walking Dead last night, are we in pee-pee pants city now? Because I am. So what do you want to hit first? Do you want to hit the abortion argument, or do you want to hit the nukes? Because I think they're both scary.
Well, the abortion thing, because again, this just goes into the fact that Trump really has nothing to say positive for women,
right,
or about women, in my opinion. You know, and basically, you know, in case anybody missed it, he came out and said, hey, if you have an abortion, you should be punished for it.
The woman should be punished for it.
Right.
That was his first statement. And then he walked that back and said, well, the abortion provider should be punished. But he never once felt like the other person who was complicit in the pregnancy had to take any responsibility for a woman making that choice. And here's the bottom line. Who fucking cares?
Right.
Women should be able to make that choice regardless of their situation, and they should have access to that service regardless of their situation.
Oh, yeah, and I gotta be honest. I have gotten to the point where I think that all other things that get thrown into this argument are all just red herrings. And as far as I'm concerned, it's not acceptable to say, oh, well, you know, maybe we'll make exceptions in the case of rape or whatever. There are no exceptions because there should be no restrictions.
Right.
And honestly, I think if we're not out there advocating for that, we're fighting a losing war, because these guys have taken an inch every time and turned it into a mile.
Yeah.
Because, what state was it that just fucking decided this week to fuck around with abortions?
Oh, I'm gonna say a state in the deep south, and I've got it somewhere on the tip of my tongue, but I don't know.
Right.
And Todd will tell us what Google has to say. So another thing that I do want to say while you're looking that up about the abortion thing is,
yeah,
you know, really, I agree with you. It shows just his complete lack of respect and regard for women, and his innate belief that women are really second class. It also shows a frightening inability to think on his feet and a frightening inability to create a logical argument around anything.
Yeah.
And is that really the person we want thinking on his feet on behalf of the United States?
Well, and this is the thing, is that, you know, now his surrogates are saying he was basically, because he blindly followed anti-abortion rhetoric to its logical conclusion, he trapped himself, which, okay, it's true, that's what did happen, but the thing is that what he said, there's a lot of people who probably actually agreed with the statement, which is scary in and of itself, you know?
But the other thing that's really powerful is that he actually united very briefly both pro-choice and pro-life groups, where they were all like, no, 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 that's not right. That's not what we believe or want to have happen. So, you know, when you can unite pro-lifers and the pro-choice movement in matters of abortion, you know your reasoning is fucked up.
Right. No, absolutely. Absolutely. And I was like, holy shit, I can't believe that he said it, except, of course, I do believe that he said it.
Right. And, you know, I've got to say, MSNBC made great political hay out of it. I can't tell you how many times they played that town hall.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You know, and the thing is that Trump's an idiot.
Right, yeah. But there are still idiots out there fighting for him. So, you know, my farrier, who is a lovely woman in a male-dominated profession, is very ethnic-looking, and I've always assumed she was Hispanic. So I said to her this morning while we were trimming hooves, while she was trimming hooves and I was holding the horse still, you know, not to get too political, but what do you think about this whole Trump thing? And she was just like, oh, my God. God. And so we talked a little bit about how, you know, anyone who supports Trump, and we have friends in the horse community who are very pro-Trump.
Oh, of course you are. Yeah,
yeah, you know, because it's, you know, the horse community tends to be fairly conservative. It's Alaska, yada, yada. But, you know, we were talking about how every time one of them posts a Go Trump post on their Facebook page, they're forgetting that A, they're women, B, their friends are women, and C, their farrier is an ethnic woman, or that they have other friends who are ethnic women.
Yeah.
And I just think it's a huge, huge, huge disservice to women when someone says, I'm voting Trump.
Well, and again, you know, going back to 2 weekends ago with my mother, who was basically...
Right.
You know, she's voting Trump, and kind of because, you know, fuck you. You gotta be able to take this shit from people if you want to be in the business world. Like, really?
Which is just so wrong. And you know that I've recently left the business world, and I'm quite glad. I mean, it happened in a sort of ham-handed way, but I woke up this morning and I was like, I don't have to go to that shitstorm today.
You are now on the government dole.
Well, I will be shortly. So, but you know, the other thing that came out of that town hall that, of course, was really horrifying is that Chris Matthews kind of was trying to pin him down on his stance on nuclear weapons. And he said categorically that he would not take using nukes off of the table. Even in Europe, he wouldn't take using nukes off of the table. So he's willing to use nukes against our European allies.
Okay. I can't believe I'm about to defend Donald Trump.
Okay, go for it.
But because he said that he wasn't
I'm laughing at you because you're having a hard time getting the words out of your mouth. Go ahead, restart.
No. Okay. This goes all the way back to 1994. And Jim Campbell's running for governor of Alaska. And I'm working for the Jim Campbell campaign.
Which, by the way, was a Republican or independent campaign?
It was a Republican candidate, and just for the record, it's the only Republican campaign that lost that year.
Okay, you can stop rooting for Bernie right now.
No. I mean, it's, you know, there were lots of reasons, most of which had to do with the fact that I was getting out of college and looking for a job. But... And I was working for the campaign, like I said. But the thing was, is that we made a claim, and this is where, you know, I kind of knew that we weren't in this to win it. But we made a claim, and by we, I meant them, and I just had to laugh at them, that our opposing candidate, Tony Knowles, mm-hmm. was for third trimester abortions for gender selection.
Oh, God. I know I should remember that.
No, it's
horrible.
But, of course, Tony Knowles never said anything like that.
Right.
Tony Knowles said that when asked if he would place any restrictions on abortion, he said no. Right?
And I see where you're going.
You see where I'm going.
I see where you're going. That saying... No can be twisted in a lot of different ways. Or saying, I'm not willing to take it off the table can be twisted in a lot of different ways. Right? Mm-hmm. But here's what I'll say, and this is, again, it's kind of the same argument, but do we really want someone who is so ham-handed in his approach that he can't figure out a better way to deal with those questions than that? Because what it really came off to our allies as is, yeah, I'd nuke Europe.
Yeah.
So that was the middle.
I'm trying to find the exact quote.
Okay. Well, you're looking at that. I'm gonna preach.
Feel free.
That was the middle of the no good, very bad week. And after you find that quote, then I want to move us to Corey Lewandowski, who you mentioned. And that's the Trump campaign manager.
Yeah, I mean, basically I'm looking over the Trump stuff and I'm just gonna wrap it up. There's no reason to vote for Trump. He's a moron. Don't get me wrong. But I'm pretty sure that it would be hyperbole on the left's part to say that Trump was for nuking our allies in Europe.
You know, and it's fair, but it's still horrifying. It presents a horrifying image.
It does. It does. But we're supposed to be better than that shit.
That's
true.
We're
supposed to be better than third trimester abortions for gender selection.
I get what you're saying there. We shouldn't have to fight Donald Trump on his grounds. We shouldn't have to twist his words to fight him.
No, because here's a quote for you from that interview that I just think is hilarious and really goes down to it, right? Of the three legs of the triad, our nuclear triad, of course, being subs and ICBMs and jets, do you have a priority? I want to go to Senator Rubio after that and ask him. And Trump's response was, I think for me, nuclear is just the power. The devastation is very important to me. Okay. You know, which, all right, this is why we don't want to trust this guy with nukes, because he doesn't really understand how our system works, but as long as it's devastating, he's good with it.
Right. And, you know, I mean, it is what you're saying about not twisting his words. It's very true. I mean, there's that old saying that don't wrestle with a pig in mud because he gets dirty and muddy and he likes it. Mm-hmm. You know, or you get dirty and muddy and he likes it, however that...
Right, and because he's just going to come back and say, fuck you, the wall's 10 feet higher.
Right. And actually, Melania Trump spoke tonight on his behalf in Wisconsin, and she said, if you hit him, he will hit you back 10 times harder. And that apparently was supposed to be a good thing.
Right.
And his crowd cheered.
Of course they did.
You know? I don't know. But moving us on, so you brought up Corey Lewandowski. He was charged with battery of Michelle Fields, who worked for Breitbart. That happened. Those charges were filed 6 days ago. And Trump is really standing by him and saying, oh, they're ruining a good man. They're ruining the life of a good man. But at the same time, his campaign has gradually started to shrink Lewandowski's role. So there are some people who kind of get it, mm-hmm. who are behind the scenes, but he doesn't get it.
Here's the problem, right? Is that Trump has gotten so much closer than anybody believed. Now he's got people behind him who want him to win. Excuse me, because they need a job.
Right. They want him to win for ego and for money, not because he's best for the country.
Right, so now they're trying to, behind the scenes, manipulate Trump, which will just be hilarious, because, you know, if you hit him, he will hit you 10 times harder.
Right, and when you are dealing with someone who has zero fucks to give, trust me on this one, you're not going to micromanage what comes out of their mouth.
No. The campaign manager manhandling a reporter, it was just the inevitable end of the nonsense that Trump, and this is fair, in my opinion, to attack Trump on. He has been encouraging violence at his rallies for months now.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I think I mentioned it in a previous podcast. There are writers who are speculating that it's just a matter of time before someone is killed at one of his rallies.
Well, did you notice today that the GOP came out and said there would be no guns allowed at the GOP convention?
Well, and apparently the Secret Service said that about a week ago. So the GOP is finally getting on board with the Secret Service. But yeah, having guns, having open carry at the convention, probably not a great plan.
Or it could have been the greatest hire.
Another one of my friends said that. That's really funny that you would say that. So another thing that kind of shows, I think, that Trump is just out of control and this was a horrible week, is that he called into a radio show in Wisconsin, hosted by a conservative radio host. This guy's name is Charlie Sykes. And he is actively part of the Never Trump campaign. Yeah. And Trump called in expecting, you know, a slow pitch. And this guy finally said, you do realize I'm part of the Never Trump campaign. And Trump was like, oh, no, I didn't realize that.
Awesome. I mean, love it when they do that.
How badly micromanaged and handled and presented are you if you can't even figure out whether or not you should be calling into a specific radio show?
Well, how bad? I mean, again, maybe they need to get his campaign manager out of jail because somebody wasn't doing their damn job there.
Well, so theoretically, Trump's conventions manager, who is a guy named Paul Manafort, is gradually taking over many of the responsibilities that were previously held by Lewandowski. So if this is Paul Manafort's idea of good micromanaging of the candidate, I'm not impressed so far.
Yeah.
But I think what it really is that he's just so beyond anyone's control that they can say, hey, I think it'd be a really good idea if you do this, and he's not going to do it if he doesn't want to.
Can we just go ahead and say it? Paul Ryan, 2016.
Who is doing a very, very good job of saying, I protest. It will not be me. So, you
know, they ought to give it to Kasich.
Yeah, I think that. I mean, if they were really smart, that's what they would do. But
Kasich would have a chance at winning this.
Yeah,
thing
he would.
So yeah, because I see that current polls have Trump's numbers at 30% of the people like him and 63% don't.
I was actually reading that he has higher negatives than a candidate has had in an entire generation.
That's hilarious.
And you know who's got the second highest negatives in this race?
Hillary Clinton.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I didn't even have to think about
it. Yeah. So, but here's a couple of things that I think really show that Donald Trump and his campaign, they recognize that this was a really bad week. So first of all, they're trotting out women surrogates. They're trotting out female surrogates. They brought
But the Sarah Palin thing didn't work out for them.
Right, it did not. And the Melania Trump thing, I'm not sure how that's going to go over. They also put out an ad that I'm sure has an actress, but, you know, she's like, I'm a woman and this is why I'm voting for Trump. The other thing is that the Rachel Maddow show tonight reported that Trump's rally was a total bust. I mean, there were a lot of empty chairs in that site where the rally was being held.
Because this is the thing, the inevitable thing with the Republican presidential candidates. They all burn out, you know? They all flame out because they've been putting up a bunch of fucking crazy-ass morons.
They have chosen some really bad representatives of their party this season.
Yeah.
I will completely agree with that.
But it wasn't just this time. It was 4 years ago.
Right.
And it was 4 years before that, you know?
And really, honestly, it was 4 years before that. It's just that George Bush won.
Because we got fucked in Florida. And by we, I mean the country. We got fucked in Florida. And then 9/11 happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, again, you can never really prove what happened because history only runs once. But I've always believed that if 9/11 had not happened, Bush would have been unelected for the second term.
I think that's very probable.
Nobody really liked him, you know, and things were starting to slide. The economy was starting to slide, and you know, Kerry could have beat him if Kerry had fucking anything to actually say. Because he got close by never saying anything.
Yeah. So I wanted to say one more thing about Trump before we kind of wrap up Act Two, and that is that there's relatively breaking news about what he has on Roger Ailes of Fox News. Have you seen that?
No, this is awesome. Okay.
So it turns out that he's got a whole bunch of dirt on Roger Ailes, and none of it has been released yet. But apparently Roger Ailes was involved in a lawsuit against a guy who was a friend of Trump a few years ago. And Trump was basically like, tell me all the dirt and I'll make him go away. So I can't remember this guy's name offhand. I read the article last night. And Trump basically got all the goods from this guy who was embroiled in this lawsuit with Roger Ailes. Roger Ailes now knows that he has all the information, settled with Trump's friend to make him go away quietly, but has not gone after him this season when he's walked away from debates and when he's been so brutal to one of their biggest newscasters, because he knows that Trump could release some really destructive stuff about him. And this is being reported in multiple media outlets, not just outliers.
I know.
So
yeah, please.
Yeah, dump it. We're ready. Okay, so do you want to move on to a preview of Wisconsin?
Yeah, but I think we already kind of previewed it.
Well, but I did say that we had some stuff to talk about on the Dem side. And I want to talk about a couple of things that are really important that I think one of them is obviously going to have immediate consequences. And I think one of them is going to have long-term consequences. So one is that the new voter ID laws take effect in Wisconsin tomorrow. And the other is that there was a unanimous ruling by the Supreme Court today upholding the concept of one person, one vote.
Right, but that, yeah, which just means they can't redraw the boundaries
right.
of the districts.
It prevents all states from gerrymandering districts. So they can't redraw it in a way that is favorable for a particular party or a particular candidate. This one is the one that I think is going to have long-term consequences.
Right.
I really want to make it clear to our listeners that what that means is that they basically set aside this lawsuit to take away power from urban voters and shift it to rural voters, which would have shifted things largely toward the GOP. They really held true that every person, whether they are eligible voters or not, need to be represented, which means you can't gerrymander districts. So I think that's important. But then the voter ID law that's taking place in Wisconsin, so it is a gift from Governor Scott Walker.
Right.
And you basically have to have this specific state-issued ID to vote. And so the people that it really shafts are people who are poor, people who don't have transportation, people who have chronic illnesses that prevent them from going to the DMV, because that's where you have to go. It's even screwing people who are college students, because basically they have to find a way to get that ID. They can't use their student ID. They can't easily get a hold of that ID. Once again, you have to have transportation. You have to have a means to get there. And the estimates are that it could block 300,000 people from voting tomorrow.
Yeah, interesting enough, though, it won't really impact. The funny thing is they do those laws to tamp down the Democratic turnout, right? Because it's who would, by and large, impacts.
Right.
And, of course, it won't really have any impact on tomorrow, at least on the Republican side.
Which is fair. I think that's a good argument. Again, though, it's going to be something that in the long term is damaging. Because if that argument is true, which I didn't think about it, and I think you're right that it is, it really screws Wisconsin in the fall.
Because it screws the Democrats
in the fall.
I would imagine that there will be some challenges to that.
There already is a challenge. I didn't read the article about the challenge, but a challenge has been filed. Here's the other thing that's really interesting, and I think just points to the underhandedness of this law. So when it was passed, supposedly there was going to be a big voter education campaign, and there was funding to do this campaign to really make this process understandable to people. Well, the Republican legislature in Wisconsin axed the funding for it, and that voter education campaign never happened. So going back to the voter ID law, there are groups that are actively working to make this better for people who may be disenfranchised. There are groups like Vote Writers and Citizen Action that are helping get people to the DMV so they can get the appropriate ID. They're helping people with funding if people are having difficulty paying for the ID.
Right.
But I read a really interesting case online today. So there's a guy, an elderly black man who moved from, I want to say, Mississippi to Wisconsin, couldn't afford to get a copy of his birth certificate from Mississippi so he could get this voter ID in Wisconsin. So one of his family members stepped in and went and got the birth certificate for him, paid for the birth certificate for him. Well, so then it turns out that he has been spelling his name differently than it shows on his birth certificate for like the last 74 years.
Right.
And now Wisconsin is saying, I'm sorry, you can legally change your name. And then they set up all these other loopholes that he has to deal with to like verify that he is that person.
Right.
So this guy's totally disenfranchised. And unfortunately, that's going to happen with a lot of elderly and poor people.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think you're right. Maybe it's not as important tomorrow, except to Bernie Sanders, because a lot of his college students are potentially going to be blocked from voting.
Right.
But it is very important come the fall.
Exactly.
And not just in the presidential election, but in all of the down ballot elections as well.
I agree. These voter laws are bullshit.
Yeah.
Because they are, as John Oliver, John Stewart, all these guys have pointed out at one time or another, Terry Gross, NPR, you know, basically these are solutions looking for a problem that doesn't exist.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, very few
voter fraud. Fraud is fucking almost non-existent.
Yeah.
At the level of I'm illegally voting as you. Because it's far easier to just, oh, I don't know, fuck up the whole thing with, say, butterfly ballots in Florida and just right. Losing entire districts worth of votes, you know. So yeah, you know, I say to the Republicans who are passing these laws, and Scott Walker in particular, go fuck yourself.
And really, honestly, if you could take somebody's identity that easily, wouldn't you rather do something other than vote?
No shit, right?
So the only other thing I wanted to say about the Wisconsin preview was just to look at the numbers on the Democratic side.
Okay.
And so the polls that I looked at, and again, this is real clear politics, so you got to bear with me. I will not use them as a source again. Their average shows Sanders at 47.9 and Clinton at 45.3. They averaged a total of 7 polls, and only 2 of those polls show Clinton in front. But the problem is, it's not a blowout. I mean, Bernie's probably going to win tomorrow, but he needs a blowout.
Well, yeah, but it won't be. He's not. 538's got it at 73% chance of Bernie winning, so I think we got this one.
Yeah. And, you know, the argument from the Bernie side, which I think is to a certain degree legitimate, is then we get momentum. We get a bounce into New York.
Right.
And the more momentum we get is better.
Which at this point, 538 is clearly calling for Hillary.
Right. And I suspect, quite honestly, she's probably going to win New York. But who knows? You know, maybe if Bernie wins and gets the momentum tomorrow, that's another thing that pushes him forward.
Hey, maybe, you know, maybe New Yorkers are tired of the fact that, you know, when you stop and think about it, she's just some carpet bagging Arkansas.
No doubt, man. No doubt.
Arkansinian? I don't even know what you're Arkansas, but...
You know, and I mean, this may be a thing for a future podcast because we've gone on for quite some time now, but I just ask myself, so, okay, if it is Hillary Clinton as the nominee, where does the passion for Bernie go? Where does the passion for his reforms go? Because I am scared. I, you know, at the caucus here in Alaska, there was a young man who was like, hey, if it's not Bernie, I'm out.
I'm hearing a lot of people say that, and I can't blame them, because the truth of the matter, we've talked about this, right? The truth of the matter is the Democratic Party has been relying on the fact that the liberal wing of the party will just vote for him because we don't have any choice. And to some degree, that, I mean, that's always been the case, but, you know, maybe we just ought to let him go fuck it up for a while.
Well, you know, and I mean, there is a part of me that gets that and doesn't want to vote for the lesser of the evil anymore. There's another part of me that says, okay, if it was any other election than this one, I don't know.
Yeah, but you know, the problem is that we say that with every
election. With every election, like, I know.
Because the truth of the matter is, every election has gotten down to vote Democrat.
And I can't...
fucking depends on it.
I can't believe this, but you might actually be convincing me to vote, to not vote this fall, which I hope is not the case, but... You very well could be.
Well, everybody's got to make their own decision on it and everything, but I honestly, it's... I think it was Jello Biafra who once said, don't vote, it only encourages them.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, I don't know. You
know, I don't know. Let's hope we don't get to that point.
Yeah. I think we probably are going to get to that point, but, you know, let's hope we don't.
Here's what I'm hoping for, right? Is that, as usual, the election is so clearly, if it's not Bernie, you know, but it's so clear that Hillary's already got it in the bag, then yeah, don't vote, right? Protest, you know. But goddammit, if our vote really matters, you better get out there and make sure that Donald Trump,
yeah,
isn't our president.
Well, you know, and there are lots of people that argue in Alaska it doesn't matter because it's going to go red, period.
Yeah.
So, but not so in California, man.
Well, we're going to go blue.
Yeah, I hope so.
It's the problem. By and large, it don't matter.
Yeah.
If you're a Republican living in California, yeah, you're never going to get your vote.
Move to Alaska. And if you're a liberal in Alaska, move to California.
Was it always that way, though?
Wasn't
always that way.
Yeah.
Been that way for a long time, but...
Yeah. I mean, my perception of Alaska growing up here is that Alaska's pretty much always been like that, but...
But, you know, hey, it wasn't all that long ago that you guys had the only democratically elected... or elected Democratic governor.
Yeah.
At the same time that the whole fucking country went Republican.
Yeah, that is so true.
That's and true. He got a second term, so.
But, you know, I also think that he is a liberal Republican.
Oh, he's... Okay, yeah. Well, there was that.
Yeah. I mean, just like I think Hillary Clinton is a liberal Republican, but... That's just me being jaded.
What we call him moderate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, honestly, I don't know, but I'm kind of thinking that we're going to see Hillary actually get charged. You know, in this secret stuff.
Well, that would certainly put a whole new twist in things. And I'm not going to take you there tonight, but I think maybe we should talk about that at some point.
Okay. But what I think we should talk about next week...
Yeah?
...is the minimum wage.
We do need to talk about the minimum wage, because we still owe that to Hannah, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Plus, California just decided that, we're going 15.
And New York.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I'm good with that. We've owed Hannah that for a long time. Hey, Hannah. And I think we should follow up on that.
Yep.
So, I've got a Neil Gaiman quote to take us out on.
Of course you do.
And I don't know the source of this. It wasn't sourced. It sounds like it is something that should be from Good Omens, but I don't think it is because I know that book pretty well. But it's a quote about Armageddon, which I thought was a really good quote to go out on, considering we're talking about Donald Trump and nukes and all of that kind of horrible stuff.
Yep.
So Neil Gaiman says, honestly, if you're given the choice between Armageddon or tea, you don't say, what kind of tea?
That's right.
I wish I could do a credible English accent, because that really deserves to be said in Neil Gaiman's voice.
Yeah, but that's okay.
So, guys, this is not what kind of tea. This is you're choosing tea or Armageddon, and you say tea.
That's right.
So, you know, that might put paid to the Bernie or bust argument. But
yeah.
We'll see.
I will. It'll be interesting to see. But, I mean, you know, I still maintain that Trump can't get there. Cruz can't get there. So, you know, Paul Ryan is somehow going to become
the nominee. Oh, my God.
I hope. Could be wrong.
Well, on that note, I think we're going to wrap it up.
Absolutely.
But we'll see everybody next week, and I hope you have a great week.
So you were born on second base, so maybe it was third. You don't speak for me. You're wrapped in the flag, you mouth holy words. You don't speak for me. But are you getting nervous, Junior? Your numbers are hurting. Even your best friends are looking uncertain. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. You don't speak for me. Yeah, I'm tired of your lies. I'm sick of your games. All of your friends, they all sound the same. Have your phony war, but not my name. You don't speak.